produce records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at FirstNet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit FirstNet.com/APR and discover why American produce records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, include, sir, 19 runners, 19 that have won a place in Grade 1 stakes. Let me say that again, 19 Grade 1 horses. Where else can you find a sire with 19 Grade 1 horses standing for $10,000 live foal? Six of the 19 won Grade 1 stakes, and include himself with a Grade 1 stakes winner of more than $1,569,000, and he's the son of champion sire Broad Brush. Include stands at Airdrie Stud, home of the stallions Cairo Prince. Is that right, Jackie? Cairo?
Yes, no, Cairo.
Cairo Prince.
Right. He said he's
very handsome.
He was saying Cairo because that was an old stud
Syrup.
That stood out. No, but that was a stud stood at Spendthrift.
Spelled differently. Spelled differently, but pronounced Cairo. C-A-R-O, the one over there. He was a French horse.
I read about it when I was younger.
Oh, please.
All right, anyway. Let me get back to this right now. Six of the 19 won Grade 1 stakes, and include himself with a Grade 1 stakes winner of more than $1,659,000, and he is the son of champion sire Broad Brush. Include stands at Airdrie Stud, home also of the stallions Cairo Prince. Creative calls Divine Park Hayesville is stand majestic perfection and proud citizen. Cairo Prince, is the newcomer. He's a multiple graded stakes winner by the nation's number one second crop sire, Pioneer of the Nile. A superb individual, he was both the most expensive weanling and expensive yearling from Pioneer of the Nile's first crop. He's going to stand his first season at stud for $10,000 live foal, and you need to visit Airdrie Stud to take a good look at him because you're going to like what you see. Grade 1 winners, Grade 1 sires, all standing for reasonable stud fees at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com and keep in mind that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and we are in the HBPA office this morning over next to Barn 28, which was the old stud barn back when the Whitneys owned this piece of property. And look right out there, and there have been some famous horses standing at stud barn over there. I used to have a stall over there when we had Tubby out here. The last horse that we trained was Tubby.
Well, and we had Coach out here, and I went. My sister was a principal down in Lawrenceburg of an elementary school, Emma Ward. And I went into her office one day, and there is this picture with this horse's head down and 50 little hands patting him. They brought a tour bus over here, school kids, and they went in and they could pat him and he would never do anything. And I looked and I thought, that's Coach. Isn't that cute?
So yeah, that's been 20 years ago and I'm still feeding that son of a gun. He won one race.
I got to tell you something.
He had a bad case of the slows.
Doc's here and I got to tell you something funny. In this month's Trainers Magazine, there is a picture of Rosie Napravnik's husband getting Trainer of the Quarter.
Yeah.
And they've got a nice little group of people standing around. And in the back is this smiling face.
Uh-oh, I got to see this.
You got to find it first. But he's in the back.
Nobody, Michael knows where it is.
Michael's in the back.
I know right where it is.
And
Born Doc.
What it reminds me of is every so often we'd win a race, I think it was at Turfway, and some old racetrack rummy jump in the back of the picture.
That's my part. That's my role in life. Racetrack rummy. This is a great name for a racehorse.
The last horse that I saddled went out of Keeneland, and we got a picture of him at home, and I was looking at the picture, and I said, who in the hell is that? Some guy I never laid eyes on before in my life was in there. And I think it turned out to be some guy just got out of jail in time to get the picture.
Well, the really funny part is, well, there's many funny parts to it, but it was the Jack Van Berg purse. Yeah. And Jack's there in the middle handing out the trophy to Joe Sharp, Rosie Napravnik's husband. And Joe has gotten off to an amazing start. His winning percentage is over the top. But anyway, I think that was the first race that in which he had an entry that ran under his own name.
Yeah.
And he won the race. And after the race, of course, Rosie rode the horse. And he gives Rosie a big hug. And Jack Van Berg looks down and he goes, "Hey, buddy. Quit hugging the jockey and come get your trophy." I said to Jack Van Berg, I said, "Jack, you know, that's the first horse he ever saddled under his own name." And Jack looked at him and goes, "Well, it's all downhill from here."
Well, he was right about that.
But Joe's doing real, real well. He won a race yesterday at Churchill. And he's got these horses at Fairgrounds now. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well, very good. Well, let me say who is going to be here. Dr. Waldridge just walked in, Brian Waldridge. We're going to have him on in just a minute. Michael Blowen, of course, as you realize from the minute that they turned the mics on, started talking in the middle of my Airdrie commercial.
I was just trying to be complimentary to one of Baron Jones' fabulous stallions.
Yeah, that's his new horse you were talking about.
Yeah, Cairo Prince.
Yeah. Yeah. How's he look?
Cairo.
I know. I did it on purpose.
Him too.
Yeah, right. Both of them. I got to go down and see him. I haven't been down that way lately. Let's see.
Yeah, I believe you can, there. You can see her, and you can see all the stallions over there. It's really a great place, and Kelly will show you around.
It's a gorgeous place. Mm-hmm. It really is. And yeah, he raises a lot of runners down there. I'll tell you what. You know, somebody's doing something right down there.
The magic field.
The magic field he talks about out there, where all these Kentucky Oaks winners and things come out of that field.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, the stallions are reasonably priced, and they're just Divine Park's throwing horse after horse after horse. Of course,
Istan is doing extremely well. Yeah.
And one of the best things that happened.
Say nothing about Majestic Perfection. You know, he's got one going in the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes today that ran out of Keenan. It just got beat a length and a half in a stake out here, and he was down on the rail and couldn't get through. He was going to hit the board that day, and they're stretching him out today, so watch out.
All right, you're going to get some racing tips here from Commander Ellis.
From a loser, so you better be careful. When it comes to handicapping, I'm up the track, you know. But this was a nice coat. Gorgeous coat, too. Of course, so is Majestic Perfection. You know?
Very nice.
Yeah, that's thus, as I say in my commercials, thus the name.
Very nice.
Yeah, how about that? All righty. Well, let's see. Of course, Michael's here. Steve Moody, they're running the Goldenrod and the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. The Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes is the one, I think, that the Majestic Perfection is going in. I've got a list of those damn races around here somewhere. I don't know. They're in the debris here. I'll find them later.
You got 2 hours to find it.
Yeah, I got 2 hours to find it. Going to do some history. They're running the Clark Handicap, which is they've been running that forever.
They ran it yesterday.
Yeah, I know. They ran it yesterday, and I've got the winner of that down here, too. It was another Kentucky bred that won it yesterday, but I can still do a little history on it.
Sure.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
Fine.
I really do appreciate that. The Fall City Handicap, which was run on Thanksgiving Day. Is that all right with you?
That's fine.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that everybody knows.
They also ran the Fall Highway Handicap and on Thanksgiving Day, and that one goes way back, although it had a lot of interruptions. And it was, you know, it started out with fillies and, well, you can still run fillies in it as far as that fact. There's been several really nice fillies win that thing. But anyway, I'm going to talk about some of the past winners of those races. I like to look up the old horses and ones I can remember. Hey, we bought some, I got to tell you this. What's the Prentice in?
Yeah.
And you know
Prevagen.
What is it now?
Prevagen.
Prevagen. Okay, well, what the hell?
Prevagen. It's for mental.
It's supposed to improve your memory. And, you know, so I've been taking it, you know. Only problem, you're supposed to take one a day. The only problem is every now and then I forget to take it. But other than that, hopefully it'll help.
You know? There you go.
That might get me up to 1960 or something, you know, where I can remember things. But things started to get a little hazy about it at that time.
I understand. It's trying to get hazy for me, too.
Well, for different reasons for you.
Maybe. That could very well be.
He wouldn't pass some spit tests, let me put it that way. All right. Let me pay some bills and we'll get Doc on here. He might have some work to do, like unlike us, you know. I was going to give the – well, I'll give those later. What the heck. Well, Blame broke his maiden as a 2-year-old at Keeneland. He then went on to, at 3 and 4, to win 7 graded stakes, 3 of them grade 1, including, of course, the Breeders' Cup Classic. He won the Eclipse Award that year and earned over $4,368,000. Now, Blame's first crop is racing at 2 this year, and they are emulating their sire. 75% of his starters have won a place, and they're doing it at the major tracks at Keeneland, at Churchill Downs, at Gulfstream, Saratoga, Santa Anita, Monmouth, Arlington, Belmont, Del Mar, Hollywood Park, and Hollywood Critic is graded stakes place out of Woodbine, incidentally, and there are 2 by Blame going in today's La Troyenne up at New York. Now, although Blame posted 9 consecutive 100-plus buyer speed ratings at 3 and 4, he was a classic stayer. He's by Arch, yet another source of classic stamina. The leading first crop sales sire by weanlings, yearlings, and 2-year-olds, Blame's going to stand the 2015 season for $20,000. Don't have to pay it until the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams over at Claiborne Farm, 859-233-4252. And see the website at ClaibornFarm.com. Claiborne Farm down in Paris, Kentucky, as is the people that we do insurance with, which is the Hopewell Company down in Paris, Kentucky. That's Joe and Ted McLean, and great fellows. They give you superb service, and they've been we've been going down there since we moved to Bourbon County, and that's been 27, 28 years ago now, I guess. And I tell you what, they're great to do business with. They got, and as far as horse farms and racing stables, they've got extensive experience working with them. They also, for us, they insure everything we've got. Now, home, a barn, vehicles, horse trailer, liability coverage. I've even got a major medical, catastrophic medical policy through them. And they've been right there whenever we need them. And I'll tell you about the Hopewell Company. They're an independent agency, and they work for us. They don't work for insurance companies. And they're able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive prices from financially sound, reputable insurers. And so I suggest that you get in touch with the Hopewell Company, and they're going to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. They're down, as I said, they're at 820 South Main Street in Paris, Kentucky. Let me give you their number. I'll give them 2 numbers now. Here's the Paris number, 987-2347. And here's the Lexington number, 254-2431. You get great service. I guarantee it. Just ask for Joe R. Ted McLean. Another great company down there is another insurance company, but this was one that insures the world's finest thoroughbreds, and they've been doing it for over 80 years now, and that's the Clay Ward Agency, founded Mr. James Clay Ward back the year that 20 grand won the Derby. Of course, he's passed away now. But he established a tradition there that's carried on today by Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess. And that tradition is hard work, service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. And they've got a reputation for honesty and doing the best they can for their customers. And that's why they've been in business so long. Their number in the Hopewell Company down there in Paris is 987-1861. Now, they're closely affiliated with another great outfit, and that's Indian Creek Farm. Of course, that's also in Bourbon County, and their tradition is for raising and selling top-quality bloodstock at the major sales. And the list of high-class stakes winners they've raised or sold includes 6 champions. Just keeps going on and on. Long and impressive record and a still-growing record. So give them a call. Give Shaq Parrish or Nikki Dryan a call. Here's their number at 859-987-7443. Great place to board your horses. And it's a beautiful farm. You ought to go down and take a look at it. See the website at IndianCreekKY.com. That's the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek, and that's 2 outfits that you ought to know something about. All right. Doc, how are you this morning?
Oh, doing well. How about you?
I'm here. Still above ground. I don't know why, but here I am. Pushing my luck.
At least it's warmed up a little bit better today.
Yeah, it's almost above freezing now. Yeah, but it is.
Have to scrape the windshield. That's a bonus.
You know, you didn't have to this morning. No. No, I think it's, what, 30, low 30s now? I think the car said, I think it said 40, by 41 by the time I got here this morning. I have to get up a little bit early to get here to do the show over here at the old HBP office. Yeah. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I have to thank old friends, Michael and Tim and old friends, because they named the hospital barn after me last week.
Oh.
Which is a very nice thing to do.
Did he give you that Red Sox jacket, too?
Oh, I've had this one. But
are you a Red Sox fan?
I am. Michael and I both are, yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, okay.
There's always next year.
Exactly.
Which barn is it?
That's on the money in Massachusetts.
you're a couple of jumps ahead of the Cubbies, I'll say that. It's true. Never been a next year for them, is there?
Yeah, our curse has been lifted, hopefully. We'll see.
They made a good
Been fussing about... Babe Ruth for how many years now, the Jinx?
Yeah.
Okay, what happened to what barn? Which barn did they name?
The hospital barn, which was a really nice thing to do. So there's been some really good
ones. Where you isolate them down?
There, and we put the ones we treat and all in there as well, too. So So we have that. So it's a really nice thing to
That's
do.
That's a nice barn.
It is. It's really nice.
Wade put up new doors, and Ken and Joyce came and painted them, and then we have a sign up that says Restricted Access, and the other sign says Dr. B's Hospital Barn.
Nice. Wow, that's very nice.
Yeah, when the first sign went up, the apostrophe was left off, so it said Dr. B.S. Hospital Barn. So I think it was an oversight, but...
You're not quite sure about it?
Yeah, not sure. Yeah. Probably true, though. True on both accounts. Both signs are right.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, it's been good. Well, this has been a great week at Old Friends, Ursula. It really has. A couple of days ago, the exercise rider and Bob Baffert's assistant trainer, the guy who brought Opportunity in yesterday to win the Clark, came to the farm to see Game On Dude.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, and it was really, really nice. And Mr. and Mrs. Barnes.
Mr. Baffert happy about it?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he was. Well, in the middle of it all, here comes a big truck from Central Equipment with a brand new Kubota on it.
Oh, my goodness.
And
tractor?
No, a vehicle, a utility vehicle.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was going to say.
Brand new.
I'd pay a lot of money by Kubota tractor. What the hell? Yeah, go ahead.
They unload it, and it's from all the people that own Game On Dude. They chipped in and bought it.
Wow.
Boy, that is really nice.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. And then...
How many you can ride in at the same time?
Two. And it's got air conditioning, and it's got heat, and it's got a radio. I told Anna to move into it. It's fabulous.
That's great.
Yeah, I should say. It helps Carol in the morning with the going around with the medicine and the supplements and everything, so she can drive that around. It's a Carol Mobile. Carol, she works for us too, and she's great.
Yeah. Well, tell her to tune it in on 1300.
She will. Okay. I'm sure she might be driving around now listening to this program.
Probably just went through a fence.
Not on the new Kubota, I hope.
Yeah, right.
But that was really, really great. And then we're all excited because, Silver Charm is supposed to arrive tomorrow afternoon. So.
Oh. The big horse.
Yep. He's in Chicago now. He's been quarantined for a few days up at Arlington Park.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Doc, here comes another one for your barn. You'll quarantine him too, won't you?
We will. We'll keep him there. And he has to go through some federal quarantine as well that he'll have to clear. So we'll keep a watch on him for 3 weeks. And then Dr. Tanner at Reardon Riddle's helping us get him all set for his state requirements.
Uh-huh.
They've been a big help.
Well, great. That's good.
It's been great teamwork. I mean, this whole thing's been great teamwork from the beginning. Jeff and Beverly Lewis paid for everything. The transport people have been terrific. Sally Vans is bringing them down from Chicago. Everybody, it's such a great thing. We're really grateful to the Japanese bloodstock breeders for allowing us to bring them home and giving them to us for nothing, which is really great. And it's been a wonderful thing. So... And he'll be our first Derby winner.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
You got a Belmont winner.
Right.
Yeah. Have you got a Preakness winner yet?
No.
Well,
I'm trying to get Captain Bodgett in here to get the rivalry going again. Captain Bodgett.
Yeah.
Silvertron.
Where is he?
North Dakota.
North Dakota.
Oh, Lord, get that poor horse out of that.
Oh, that woman loves him. We're never going to get him. She loves him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, they love Captain Bodger. Forget
he's
about it.
He's up there fracking, probably.
He's up there, he's up there getting spoiled. I know that much. They really, really adore him.
Yeah.
So that's been a great week. And then I talked to Gary Stevens yesterday when we found out that Silver Charm had landed safely. And of course, Gary rode him. And when you ask Gary Stevens who the best horse is that he ever rode, he can't give you an answer. He says, you know, I rode a lot of nice sprinters, rode some horses on the grass, rode some long-distance horses, rode some good three-year-olds, some good older horses. But he said, when anybody asks me who my favorite horse is, it's Silver Charm. So he's going to come next week.
Was that his first Derby winner?
I think it was.
Yeah. I have to look it up, won't we?
Yeah, we will. Oh, speaking of looking it up, you know, you're not the only one who looks into this history thing. This is really cool. You know that book, Champions, that the Racing Forum puts out?
Yes, sir. Got it.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
Well, you can go through it, and 10 of those horses are associated with old friends.
Wow.
10.
10.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty good.
I mean, some of them we got after they died, so I don't know if that really counts or not, but Skip Away and Newer in there.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you got Newer quite a bit of while after he died, you know, I mean, it.
Yeah, that would have to be.
Yeah.
He practically died before I was born.
You want to sell that book in your gift shop.
We do.
Oh, do you?
That's Are you awesome. Kidding?
Yeah, how would Michael miss
Gee whiz.
Like that's so elementary.
You know, and I need an American Racing Man.
You need a what?
I need the new American Racing Man.
Well, I'll bring you one next week.
Have you got one?
Yes.
Yeah, Jackie, write that down. Gee, I asked Jackie to get me one if there's some kind of a rigmarole going up there that they won't take a credit card or something.
Well, they won't take yours.
But it's not mine. It's Jackie.
Well, they are.
There you look. Here, we've been on the air 20 minutes and he's insulted me and my wife.
It's well intentioned.
Water off a duck's back.
All right.
Yep. 10.
No. We're going to call you and remind you about that.
Okay.
You know,
that's fine.
The last one I have.
I did something like PayPal or something that I don't do, and it drives me nuts. That kind of computery side that said, I'll buy one somewhere else.
So I've been doing that. The last one I have is 1978.
Well, you're still 20 years from catching up to that one. What's your hurry?
Well, I don't know why I don't have one after that. There's something wrong because I work for them. When did I leave there, Jackie?
I'll bring you some.
82, 83 that I left?
Something like that.
Yeah, about 83, 84. I forget when it was, you know.
You only get them on Triple Crown years, maybe. Triple Crown
no,
years.
No, I had a, was getting them pretty. They used to give me one every year.
They said, you can get that or a pension.
You know, that's right. You know, I worked there 15 years. And I didn't know there was any pension involved or anything like that. I never asked anybody about a pension, for God's sakes, you know. So I worked there a little over 15 years and resigned and went out on our own. You know, Jackie and I were training horses. And all of a sudden, I get a notice that I'm getting a pension check from them. So you had to work there 15 years to get a pension check. I still get it. It isn't very much, but, you know, it'll keep you in cigarettes if you smoked. But that's about it. If the price of cigarettes go up, though, I won't pay for it.
Yeah, I can't believe the price of cigarettes. How can anybody afford to smoke?
Did you used to smoke?
Oh, yeah.
Did you? No, I bet you did.
Two packs of unfiltered Camels a day.
And that ain't all.
No, that is all. Let's be clear here. That is all. That's all I needed. Hardest thing I ever did in my life. Give up smoking.
I smoked. I started smoking when I was in the service. And you do things when you're scared, you know.
Yeah.
And I smoked for maybe 10, 12 years. And then in 1964, I looked at the side of the package there, and it was telling me what all was, you know, bad for you. So I put it down. I haven't smoked since.
Yeah.
And I missed one maybe a month. For a month, I'd miss a cigarette, but that was it. I don't know. It was easy to quit. I mean, I don't understand people can't quit.
Well, it took me 6 or 7 attempts before I could finally.
Hell, I have to stop.
Yeah, well, you say that. Man, I was sweating that stuff out of me. I smelled like an old cigarette for about 2 weeks.
Is that what that was?
I hope so. But anyway, that was like, I don't know, 25 years ago.
Yeah. Well, good. I guess you're clean now. You ever want one?
No.
No?
I did for a while. I did for years.
Oh, I didn't for years. A month.
Yeah.
You know, I would. And then it was usually if I was driving somewhere. I can remember the exact last time that I wanted a cigarette. I was driving to Louisville, and I was going over the Kentucky River down there, and I looked down, you know. And I thought, you know, well, you know, you nothing with your hands. That's what basically what it was anyway. So, you know, I'd like to have a cigarette.
I didn't think I could write a newspaper story without a cigarette. In the newsroom, you go into the newsroom. It's hard to imagine now, but the whole newsroom was just filled with smoke. Everybody smoked. There were ashtrays all over the place.
Yeah.
And it would make me sick to my stomach to go back in there now. But then it was normal. And I didn't think, and then I'd go in there and I'd try and give it up, and I'd smell it all day, and I'd go, oh my God, I really need to have one of these.
Do you smoke, Don?
No, sir.
Never?
Never have.
Pure as a driven snow.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
On that account.
Yeah. That account? Whenever you get your vet segment, do you mind if I do a commercial?
Oh, no, go right ahead.
Okay, I know you got something on your mind, so you wouldn't come in. Crow's Hatch is one.
It hasn't stopped other people.
Or the host.
Oh, the host, yeah. There's usually nothing on my mind when I come in, as a matter of fact. Crow's Hatch has won 7 stakes, all graded 5 grade 1. The classic Mother Goose, the Ogden Fifth, the Personal Ensign, the Cotillion, the Apple Blossom. Closed a career with earnings of over $2,707,000, and for the second straight year, she's an Eclipse Award finalist. Crow's Hatches is by First Defense. Dun Donnell won the Group 3 Acom Stakes, the King Charles II Stakes, and placed in 3 more stakes, including the Group 2 Champagne and Group 3 Craven. Pistols Drawn won the Pretty Jenny Stakes in Chicago. Tom Berlane, a 2-year-old this year, has finished 2nd in 2 group stakes, the Group 3 Tyros in England and the Group 3 Juvenile Turf in Ireland. New Line has finished 2nd in the Trippy Stakes, that's at Belmont. Beach Hut placed in this year's running of the San Pedro Stakes out at Santa Anita. Smoking in the Boys Room, stakes placed in Kentucky, all sired by First Defense. And the list of mares covered by First Defense since his first crop came out running reads like a who's who of breeding. Grade 1 stakes winners, Grade 1 producers, First Defense, Future at Stud is bright indeed. He had a good allowance winner yesterday up at Churchill, as a matter of fact. Stands at Judmont Farm for $10,000 live foley. Inquires to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Sally Van Service has been in business for over 60 years now, and unless Michael puts them out of business, hauling
that
those horses
well
around free. All these free trips that he's doing.
They don't even charge us for gas. It's unbelievable.
Hopefully they'll be in business for another 10 years.
They brought us a couple more this week.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I noticed online, I think it was Jane Weingartner, put up a picture of her trailer.
Yeah.
She took it over there, and they cleaned it up and everything. You know, they'll work on trailers and diesels. So it looks gorgeous. So they're still doing that. So if you want your thing serviced, that's a good place.
I hope they're doing extremely well so they can keep hauling Michael's horses around the country.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, during that time, anyway, and I guess Michael's horses are included in this. They've hauled some of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack, and that would be a lot of yours, Michael, so they can brag about that anyway. Yeah. Maybe that's what they needed, some more bragging rights, you know, for hauling your horses.
I hope so. I hope they're getting something out of it.
Are they going to haul Silver Charm down for you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. From Chicago, is that where he's coming in?
Yeah. He even called me and asked what kind of accommodations he wanted. Box stall, a big trailer.
Well, yeah. Believe they know what they're doing.
That's what I told them.
Yeah, exactly.
I said, I don't have a clue.
They asked the wrong person.
I said, just ask him.
Well, it's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor, of course, is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. And over at Sally Van Service, they're very proud of their drivers, with good reasons. They're experienced drivers, they're experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. So next time you ship your horse, it doesn't make any difference if it's across the county or across the country, we'll give the folks over at Sally Van a call. I'll give you that number in just a minute. So you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. So Sally Van wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Van's been the safest way to the winner's circle. And here's that phone number, 255-9640. And here's the website at Sally, S-A-L-L-E-E, horsevans.com. Well, first crop weanlings by Bodemeister sold for an average of over $116,000 at Keeneland's November breeding stock sale. So there you have it. Proof he's siring outstanding individuals. Bodemeister is a superb individual and a superb runner with a superb pedigree. He won the Grade 1 $1 million Arkansas Derby. Wasn't much of a contest. He won by 9.5 lengths. And he was a front-running second in both the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. In the Derby, he set the unheard-of early fractions. They were record fractions, 45-1 and 109-4. And he was the only three-year-old of his year to post four triple-digit buyer speed ratings. Bodemeister is by the classic winner Empire Maker. So also pioneer of the Nile, the nation's number one ranked second crop sire, and a stablemate of Bodemeister over at Windstar Farm. Pioneer of the Nile's 2014 stud fee is $60,000. Bodemeister, $30,000. Fees are not due until the foal stands in nurses. For more on the Windstar stands, call Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson at 859-873-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All right. Well, I've got Dr. Brian Waldridge here, if he can get a word in edgewise.
Yeah, no, it ain't easy right here, is it, Doc?
It's always good to listen and learn.
We'll adjust the muzzle on Michael over here, and we'll go ahead.
What's on your mind today, Doc?
Well, you may have seen this past week there were three horses that died in Florida from a feed related issue,
and yeah,
as best of it, I would read on that that it was a what's called an ionophore, which is an additive that goes into cattle feed, and it's also used in chicken feeds. And what it does is it helps to kill a parasite, like we talked about EPM the other week. That's a protozoa that causes diarrhea in calves and chickens. It's really important to cause of diarrhea in calves, so that can be put in there to kill that organism. But in cattle, what it does is it changes the, because cattle have a rumen, it changes the bacteria in that rumen where they're more efficient. They produce less gas and produce more of the fatty acids that cattle and horses use when they ferment fiber for energy. So it's really good additive in cattle feeds, because if they're calves, you help to head off coccidia. But in cattle, it helps them be more efficient with their feed. So when you have that getting to horse feed, the bad thing is horses are very sensitive to that. It's an antibiotic technically, but their horse is really sensitive to that. It damages their muscle tissue, but particularly heart muscle. And so oftentimes the first sign you see of that is the horse is dead. If it eats enough, it dies very, very quickly. But if the horse survives that initial ingestion of that, you can see signs like colic or neurologic signs. It's the kind of some of the things you'd see with almost like a really bad tie-up. And so it, you know, happens from time to time that comes up. So, you know, that's one good thing to talk about this week, because you do hear about those happening, you know, a couple times a year.
How much would that do they have to ingest of, or how long a period of time?
Well, there's been a couple. It depends. There's about two. There are two that are used mainly in feed, two different of those compounds. And there's some newer ones come along, but it doesn't take, if you look at what's toxic to a cow, an adult cow, and what's toxic to a horse, it's about tenfold difference. But it doesn't take very much at all of the monensin, which is probably the most common one, to kill a horse.
Yeah.
And there were some in Europe, they found low amounts of those ionophores in the feed, and those horses, you know, some of them had some heart problems and showed some signs had to be put down from heart problems, you know, that it couldn't perform, all the way to neurologic signs up to 40, 60 days later for chronic low-grade toxicity.
Yeah. Oh, I read that it came out of a place that made cattle feed and horse feed, and the guy didn't clean the equipment when he switched over to horse feed. Is that what you heard?
That's one of the things that sometimes happens, is that you know, all that goes through the auger system. And so the way that's usually cleaned out is once they make the cattle feed with the additives, then they run some more cattle feed that doesn't contain that ionophore. Right. And so that helps to clean it all out of their auger system. So I don't know the particulars of this one.
That's what I had read somewhere, and I thought, you know, Macaulay's only makes horse feed. So there you are. You don't have to worry about that with Macaulay's, because it's all, they don't do cattle feed. They just do the one thing. So that's what I thought about when I saw that.
Oh, yes, ma'am. That's why you'll see in ads for for feed companies, they say we only make horse feeds. That's one. That's why that's important for them to let you know that.
Yeah, McCauley's was the first one to do that nationally. And I don't think there are maybe two, maybe three now that make it just strictly for everything that they make is for horses. And, of course, of course, they're a sponsor, so I'm plugging them a whole lot. But anyway.
They give us stuff, too.
I keep track of what the runners, you know, by McCauley, that were raised on McCauley products. And I think the last count I had, I think yesterday would be the 26 grade one stakes they've won this year. And they're up in about 180 stakes races that they've run, and over half of them have been graded, won by horses that were just raised on McCauley products. So they're doing something right now.
Very nice.
You know, Dr. Griggs and Lee Eaton were the ones that got them to go to just to do this, you know, and they've been doing it since, well, golly, way back in the 60s, I guess, you know, 70s at the latest, where they've just make products just strictly for the horse, right. Which reminds me, I got to go down there tomorrow and pick some up.
Is there anything in horse feed that would bother cattle if they started running?
No, we're good on that. So you can go the opposite. And it's only if you have that onophore in cattle feed that you really have to worry about for horses. You can't feed horse feed to sheep because they'll get copper toxicity. That's one thing that
and
you have to watch for.
Barf. So. Our dog throws it up. He eats it and throws it up.
I know.
But we are lucky here in Central Kentucky that our companies here can feed enough, make enough horse feed that we don't have that worry. Because a lot of places, if you have a small company, they have to make both cattle feed and horse feed and stay in business.
That's
so
exactly
we're,
right.
We're lucky in our area that we can have that.
Yeah. Well, that's great. All righty. Anything else on your mind?
Those were the two big ones.
Okay.
To thank old friends.
Have you got your sign up over there yet?
It is.
It is. I'll have to run over and see that sign.
Yeah, it's fabulous. It really does look great.
What are you going to name after me? Manure Pit?
Well, we've got the naming committee meeting next month.
Okay.
We'll come up with something.
Put it on the manure spreader.
Don't give away all the good ideas.
Right.
I also want to invite everybody who would like to meet Silvertron before he goes into his Dr. Walter quarantine. On Monday, we're having an open house from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, so people come over and see Silvertron.
Monday, 1 to 2.
Yep.
Yeah, just an hour, huh? Okay.
That's it.
Well, maybe you'll beat the band.
Okay.
Let them rest.
Yeah.
Coming in.
Yeah. What's the arrival now?
He's supposed to get here tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night,
mm-hmm.
Sunday night. And then you're going to, okay, well, he'll have a night's rest. And,
yeah, come up for an hour.
He won't come out of the stall much anyway. So,
no.
Yeah. Of course, he's used to being turned out by now, surely.
Oh, yeah, sure. I hear he's.
Where did he come from?
He came from the Shodai Stallion Station.
In Japan.
In Japan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the paddocks are about the size of my living.
Oh, not his.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Not his.
Not his?
Oh, no. They treated him really, really well.
Yeah.
They sent me some video of him frolicking, and it's really, really nice.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jackie, well, tomorrow.
Monday.
Monday at 1 o'clock.
And I'll give you some of your racing manuals, and I got beer in the refrigerator. What else do you want?
I'll take the beer first.
And you can see game on do. And Sally Dan's brought us a couple of other horses, too. One really nice one named Sarbonne. And Sarbonne was a gelding that was cared for by a really nice lady named Diane out in California. And she wanted him to come to Old Friends, and she endowed him. She sent us $25,000 with the horse. And he's a gelding. And he was one of the horses that they used to send out to run with Zenyatta when she was going through her workouts.
Oh,
they actually had two old geldings that did it. One ran the first half, and then this one to pick up the second half, or vice versa. I'm not sure.
I bet he's got an inferiority complex.
Huh?
I bet he's
really sweet. Yeah, he's really sweet.
Subdued would be the word.
Maybe. But he's a Jerry Moss horse, and, you know, Jerry's very happy that Sarbonne's at our farm now, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that horse. He won some stakes himself, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah.
What's that?
I'll have to look him up.
How many?
You can't trust what Michael tells you.
104.
104, and Doc.
What's 104?
Is that so many horses we have in Kentucky?
Oh.
Dr. Byers is
turned over.
Yeah, I'm trying to bring him back. I figure if I get about 10 more, he'll be back. Yeah. Dr. Byers.
Oh, Dr. Byers, that may be true.
Yeah.
Well, I hope he haunts you.
Yeah, he does haunt me, believe it. I hear him every day, believe me.
Yeah.
It's worse now that he's gone than when he was here, because when he was here, he could only yell at me when he was around. But now he yells at me all the time.
Oh, God bless him. Yeah. I'm sure he's up there taking care of horses right now.
Yeah. We saw Susan the other day. She looked really good. She's working on the farm and all that. And that was really nice. And
yeah.
We delivered the sculpture that Doug did of El Gran Señor.
Oh.
Came from the foundry. My friend Fred Koroviak helped engineer all of that. And so we brought over a book that he made of the making of the sculpture, and the sculpture itself. They really did a nice job. It's beautiful.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah, that's good. Nice.
I think about him all the time.
It's kind of cool to see his thumbprints and his fingerprints on it.
Yeah.
But if he didn't die, he'd still be working on it. It was never good enough. It's like me with him. You're just not good enough. Okay, fine. I can't do anything about it now.
Doc had his stubborn streak, didn't he?
No, he's right.
Yeah. You know. Brian, did I tell you about Doc and his cane?
No.
Oh, well, when he came back from the hospital the first time, you know, and he was over to clocker stand, and he got out, and he was a little shaky coming up that hill, you know, to the clocker stand, and he got in, and I preached to him about, Doc, you got to get a cane just until you get your strength back, you know, and your balance back and everything. I said, when I had my hip operated on, I used a cane, and he said, oh, okay. I said, well, he never used a cane, you know. Finally, Dr. Burns down in Paris made him one, uh-huh. A walking stick.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful thing. All shellacked and everything. It was gorgeous, you know. And gave it to him, and he loved it. Yeah, Doc loved it, you know. And he's calling, telling me about this cane. You know, I said, oh, that's great. And I said, well, let's solve the problem, you know. So I couldn't wait till the next Saturday, you know, to see that cane and see him use that cane. He got out of his car down there, he and Michael, and sure enough, he had that cane. Here he comes up the hill, and he's carrying it. He had that stubborn streak, but you know, that's probably what made him a great vet. You know, he would never give up until he found a problem, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, so.
And that's what he always said, you know. I remember one of the things Dr. Byers said, I still say, is the horse will tell you, you know, if what's going on.
Yeah.
Just pay attention to the horse will tell you.
Yeah.
That's just great advice, I think.
He was a great teacher, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah. I think about him all the time. He's just one of those people that, you know, you feel blessed that you knew him during your life.
That's very true.
He certainly was good to Michael over there, and you are too. That's big shoes to fill, but I'm sure you're plugged down. At least you got your name up over there on the
That's right. Yeah, everybody knows who to blame now.
So yeah. I got to pay a bill here.
All right, Ursula, I'm going to go.
All right,
we got some people coming on tours today. It's going to be nice. So we give tours our winter hours now, 11 o'clock. So if anybody would like to go around and see some of the horses, Game On Dude's out now, so they can come feed him a carrot. He's doing really well.
Does he cut up much out there?
No, he's so gentle. It's unbelievable.
Well,
he doesn't run around much. He does a lap or two a day, and that's about it.
Yeah.
You know, nibbles and...
Good.
He loves the people, though. They were right about that. He loves when people come. He waits for them.
Is that right?
Yeah. And he's very aware of everything. He's very, nothing gets by him. He's very smart.
I love the way he ran. I love a front runner.
Yeah.
You know, my dad told me, he says, you know, they've been where they ain't.
Yeah.
You know, so
he got nominated for the Vox Populi Award this year.
Oh.
Yeah. So anybody's voting for the Vox Populi Award, I just put a good word for Game On Dude, 3-time winner of the Sanity to Handicap. Vote? You go online, Vox Populi, you can just Google Vox Populi and it'll pop up.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because he could join Rapid Redux, because Rapid Redux won and he's at the farm.
Yeah, right.
Rapid Redux down out with Amazon be the Breeders' Cup winner and they're pals.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Good.
It is great.
Good. That's good, yeah.
Astonishing.
Yeah, they're happier when they've got company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They raced each other, I think it was last Thursday afternoon.
Did they?
It was just two of us out there and they were racing each other around the paddock.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see that sunset and those two horses did a couple laps around together.
Yeah.
Really neat to see.
Well, did he win? Did they snap that 22 win streak?
I think Rapid Redux beat him.
Yeah, Rapid Redux did. He was pretty much had him by the neck, not much.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you get one of those horses eligible for those starters, you know, if you can work it. Boy, I've been a lot of cheating on people doing that, too. You know, run a horse down for $5,000 where it's worth about $15,000. You know, I mean, trying to sneak him in without getting claimed. You know, and then you got him by the,
a lot of leg wraps.
You got a lot of leg wraps
and a lot of bad rumors around the barn.
Yeah, right. And a big extended bit, you know, for a run out bid. No.
The things you can learn by listening to this radio program are just astounding.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. All right. First of all, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Everybody have a good weekend.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Thanks for coming in, Doc.
Sure. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Ursel. Thanks, Jackie.
When a stallion is sighing 15% stakes horses, you should take note. The hare is sighing 19% stakes horses. That's right at one in every five of his starters, and he's sighing 75% winners. Doesn't get much better than that, especially when you consider that the hare stands for a most reasonable $5,000 live foal. The hare was quite a runner himself. Posted a 114 by the speed rating the day he won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, and a 110 to win the Grade 2 Jerome at Belmont. The hare is by Awesome Again, the only winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic at stud to in America. Driven sire to winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic and an emerging sire of sires. Irish Cherry, the dam stakes-winning dam of the hare, also produced the Grade 1 stakes winner Spun Sugar. The hare has a Grade 1 pedigree, top and bottom. Stands at Shadwell Farm. The fee, $5,000 live foal. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes at 859-224-4585 and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Hey, Quillen Leather and Tack is having free shipping today and tomorrow. So if you want to get in on this, you can call them and order something, I guess, you know, use your credit card. But you'll get free shipping within the continental United States.
I'm going to call them and tell them to ship those halters of mine.
Listen, that's not the important thing. Congratulations, Ralph got married.
Ralph got married.
Donna Bell, pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
Life, it's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. He put on Facebook that... well, the whole family was in, so might as well get married. How romantic that is. Yeah. Yes, I'm saying, though. So, anyway, you know, that's wonderful.
Yeah, well,
we wish him the best. He's a great guy. And
Well, you know, super. He had a happy marriage when Sally passed away.
Yes, wonderful girl.
Men who have happy marriages once and they lose their wives, they're more apt to. They want to get married again.
Yeah, because they're well-trained start out with.
Yeah, well, I got lucky and I met Jackie, so I've had two happy marriages.
That's wonderful. Yeah, yeah. I wish the best for
yeah, I hope his,
and his
I hope his is second one is as good as ours, Jackie.
And, thank you. I mean, that's nice. So, anyway.
What's for dinner? hell, I know. Leftover turkey.
Yeah, you're going to eat turkey for at least a week. You better eat more than. At any rate.
She bought a 23-pound turkey. We never could get rid of that sucker.
It's good, though.
Boy, it is.
Butterballs, no additives, no growth hormones and stuff. I felt real good about that. Anyway, talking about getting Christmas presents, if you got a horse friend, get them a shank with a nameplate on it with their name. They've got rolled collars and stuff for dogs and a lot of stuff.
Belts and key tags.
And for girls, if you got a horse crazy little girl, they've got pink leather and blue leather. It's kind of a UK blue. It's really nice. And don't forget Rooster Brew downtown, Ralph's 100-bottle beers on the wall place. But if you want to see what they got at Quillen, it's Quillin.com. If you want to order today, it is 987-0730, free shipping.
All right, well, last Saturday, Delta Downs Take Charge Brandy, a 2-year-old filly by Giants Causeway, won the Grade 3 $400,000 Delta Downs Princess Stakes. That was just 3 weeks after she won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Stakes at Santa Anita, and, of course, that strengthened her bid for the Eclipse Award as champion 2-year-old filly.
Bred by the Charming Syndicate and trained by Dwayne Lucas, Take Charge Brandy has earned $1,410,126. She's a $435,000 graduate of the September sales at Keeneland. Also, on November 22, the $125,000 Glorious Song Stakes was won by Mississippi Delta. That's a two-year-old filly by Giants Causeway, bred by Mike Rutherford and trained by Mark Cassie. Giants Causeway is the nation's number one sire on the juvenile sire list. Six of his 14 two-year-old winners have earned black type, and they've earned over $2,717,000. He also ranks second on the North American sire list with earnings of over $11,500,000, and he's the leading sire of graded stakes winners this year. 11 of his 16 2014 stakes winners have won graded stakes. Three have won grade one stakes. Three times the number one sire in North America, Giants Causeway stands for $85,000. Payable when the foal stands in nursery. Stands at Ashford Stud. Call the farm, 859-873-7088, and see the website coolmore.com.
Can I do these?
Yeah, Jackie, you want to do your announcements?
Sure. I'll be.
Oh, by the way, we're on the regular time next week.
Yay.
Regular time.
Yay.
Mary Jane just did backflips down at the radio.
I'll tell you, I'm backflipping myself. I did. 6 o'clock comes awful early. Horse Park.
Did you turn this heater off behind me?
No, it went off.
Oh, it went off?
It's set. If it's set too low, you can.
No, that's okay.
Bump it up. Alrighty, Friday, December 5th, that's next Friday, at the Kentucky Horse Park, is the holiday open house at the gift shop. They have door prizes and refreshments and product samples, discounts all over the store, free parking, and if you get a gift shop receipt when you buy something, you get a discount admission price for going to the horse park. So, that's you want more information, just look it up. It's online, kyhorsepark.com. Rerun. They have three farms, and they adopted out six. Lisa adopted out six horses. Rerun takes old racehorses and, you know, retrains them. They used to say, oh, you got to turn them out 6 months and all this and that kind of stuff. So that's...
Maybe occasionally you do. But
occasionally, but not her. She keeps, turns them out. She puts them up one first day, second day she turns them out, third day she's on them. Unless there's something crazy about them. Oh, I said about, this is Small Business Saturday. That's why Ralph Quillen at the tax shop is having free shipping today and tomorrow. Kind of promote that. At the horse park, December 5th and 6th. See, you could go to that sale, the big Christmas sale at the gift shop, and then go to, the Spirit of the Horse. It's kind of a fancied up dressage kind of thing. If you've got little girls that are horse crazy, that's a place to take them. It's all kind of a fantasy thing. The horses are gorgeous, and they do dressage and all this and that kind of stuff. It's a nifty thing to have. And Ressie's daughter, Hannah Rose, will be dancing with Barbara Ann's School of Dance at the Spirit of the Horse, December 4th and 5th. I think you'll probably get an autograph following the performance. Possibly, yes. You want to get an autograph early on because when she's rich and famous, you probably won't be able to. So if you want to buy tickets to that, you can go to kybdressage.com. Oh, and they got a magical barn tour for $5, and they go all through. The kids just love it. And it's not just sitting there watching stuff. There's things for you to do. Kids under 12 are free. It's $15 for adults and $10 for children, so you can do two things. Also, on Saturday is snowbird dressage. You can wrap all this stuff up in one weekend. You can... Saturday, December 6th, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. is Kentucky Dressage Association sanctioned dressage show. Introductory training, first, second, third level, and above all levels above that. I never could keep their levels straight. I mean, it's very complicated. You have to qualify, I guess, and go on. But anyway, Julie Congleton is in charge of this thing. Great girl. 846-4889 or KentuckyDressageAssociation.com, and all those words are spelled out. Saturday, the following week, December 13th, and Sunday, December 14th, in the covered arena, a snowball mounted game. Snowball series runs through the whole winter. It's a mounted game schooling competition. They compete beginner, novice, novice, intermediate, masters, and fossils. See, I could do the fossils. That's the old people part. And green pony. Riders compete in teams, pairs, or a three-rider pony pair. It's a part of the snowball series. Riders can compete in all the competition and get awards at the end. They do a lot of fun stuff. They do going around barrels and handing off and kind of like relay. It's a fun thing. It doesn't get all scary. Now, Farm Managers is having free Christmas festival for farm employees. Christmas 2014, it's called. Festival of Christmas 2014. Tuesday, December 9th, and Wednesday, December 10th, 7 to 9 here. Ta-da! At the training center. So they're going to have two nights. You need to sign up, and you need to get cracking if you're going to do this. Kids get gifts and stuff. It's, I think you could probably just call the training center and they could tell you what to do. I've got a BG Farm SCKY at gmail.com. I don't know if anybody's be able to write that down. You know what I mean?
Can I interrupt you a second? We're at the top of the hour here. Well, the Indian Charlie stud fee had climbed to $75,000 at the time of his death. He had sired the winners of three Eclipse Awards. His two best two-year-old colts by Indian Charlie, the two best, were Uncle Mo and Liaison, both winners of Grade 1 stakes at two. They went on to win graded stakes again. Uncle Mo entered stud for a fee of $25,000, and he's been extremely well received. Liaison entered stud this year for $10,000 fee, due when the foal stands and nurses, and he too was popular with breeders. So the two have much in common. Liaison won the Grade 1 Cash Call for Tootie and the Real Quiet Stakes as a two-year-old after sprinting 7 furlongs and won 22 and 3 to break his maiden. That was at Santa Anita. He then went on to win the Grade 2 Mervyn LeRoy Handicap, the Santana Mile, with placings in 5 more stakes, 4 graded. 4 of them were graded. Liaison's Dam, Galloping Gal, won 2 stakes at Keeneland, where she also ran second in the Grade 2, now Grade 1, of course, Alcibiades, and the pedigree is loaded with black type. Liaison was assigned 120 pounds on experimental, above the likes of Alpha and Gemologist and Take Charge Indian. I'll have another. And here's the good news. He's eligible for Spendthrift's Popular Breed Secure Program. You breed, you sell, and if you don't make a profit, you don't pay. So just call Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker out at Spendthrift Farm. Here's the number, 859-294-0030. Take a look at the website, spendthriftfarm.com. All right, we're going to talk about a couple of products that I've happened to. In fact, one of them I use, Lubricin. They make it for people as well, and Reborn. And I'm happy to endorse them both. Both of them were developed by Dr. Steve Alday, big supporter of old friends, by the way. Does a lot of great work. And they're also endorsed by people a whole lot more important than me, many owners, trainers, veterinarians. And they're both, incidentally, all natural, test-free. You don't have to worry about it when you go to Spitbox. Lubricin sustains the integrity of joint fluid, and it reduces the need for acid injections and so forth. Some of the trainers that use it, Lubricin, are Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendoffer and Mike Maker, just to mention a few of them. And as I said, I take it for friends, and at my age, I'm still moving around. That's pretty darn good. Reborn is 100% sterile, whole, concentrated natural bovine colostrum. It's safe, it's easy to use, it's a dietary supplement for horses of all ages, starting with foals. What it does is build up the immune system and prevents serious illnesses, or gives them the the facts to grow, you know, the growth factors and so forth to fight it off. And start using it with foals. But I tell you, a lot of top racehorses use it now. I know that Wise Dan ran on it his whole career, and that's a pretty good recommendation right there. To learn more about them, what you need to do is check the website. It's lubricin.com, lubricin.com. If you're looking for it for yourself, go over to Old Friends. They're selling it over there. Then the other Reborn is reborne.com. And you can buy that at the KBC here in Lexington or at Horse Sense down in Versailles. So it's two great products. Broken Vow is a sire of 28 stakes horses, including another grade one stakes winner this year. Now, that's pretty standard procedure for Broken Vow, the most successful son of Unbridled at stud in North America. Broken Vow stands at Pin Oak Stud, home also of the young multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire Alternation. And it's worth noting that both descend from the same female family, the famed Pin Oak family founded by Striker Pose. Alternation, a son of distinguished sire Distorted Humor, is out of the Seattle slough mare Alternate. She was a runner herself, a stakes winner, and multiple graded stakes place earner of over $550,000. Alternate is a half-sister to the Canadian Horse of the Year, Peaks and Valleys. He earned over $1,589,000. Alternation won graded stakes at Belmont, graded stakes at Pimlico, won two graded stakes at Oaklawn. He earned over $1 million. First foals are due in 2015. He stands for 7,500 live foal. Broken Vow, 25,000 live foal. And both stand at Pin Oak Stud. Inquiries to Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420. And see the website pinoakstud.com. Back to you, Jackie.
Oh.
Morning, Mike.
Morning, Nurse.
Mike Cameron staggered in here from over at Barn 28.
Yeah. Banker's hours, trainers doing banker's hours. Barbara Livingston, who has got to be the best horse photographer I've ever seen, has got a new book out called Standard Bred Old Friends. And that's part of her Old Friends series. She had old friends and she had more old friends, and now this is Standard Breds. 43 were remarkable horses in the twilight of their lives. I know she goes trotting tracks and does some really good pictures. It's excellent. Anyway, if you want to get it, the best way to get it is harnessmuseum.com. And that means that part of it, I think, contributes to the Harness Racing Museum in New York. Now, sports broadcaster Janine Edwards of ESPN and ABC is going to host the 44th Annual Eclipse Awards presented by the Daily Racing Forum, the Breeders' Cup, and the Stronach Group. It will be January 17th. It is on TVG or HRTV. I can't remember when. But she knows what she's talking about. She used to ride on the racetrack, and she trained, as opposed to people who get on and talk about horses by their numbers. Thoroughbred Charities of America will honor Graham and Anita Motion with the Allaire DuPont Leadership Awards, and will honor the Communication Alliance to Network Thoroughbred X Racehorses, that's Canter, with the TCA Industry Service Award at the 25th Annual Select Stallion Season Auction. It's Saturday, January 10th at the Keeneland Entertainment Center at Keeneland in Lexington. So that's going to be very nice. There's, you want to go down to Lakeside Arena, don't bother today. There's nothing going on. Now, next
week. We'll go out there and look anyway.
Yeah, well, next week is raining. No, next week's Kentucky Hunter Jumper Show. And if you want information on that, you can go to 489-4885. Now, we had a big windstorm last week, and if you had trees knocked down, call Arlington Tree Service. That's our old friend Kenny Littrell, and he will come and clean it up. He does a great job. His number is 293-0288. That's all.
You got it done?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, my goodness. We're coming here.
Oh, Lord help us, it's Grub. Williams has let Grub out again. Lord, Williams, you got to keep the old man in check.
I try.
I bet you it's difficult.
All right, what time is it anyway? Okay, I guess we'll do the top of the hour commercial. Did you get a hold of Steve yet?
Not yet.
Yeah. Okay, honey. Give my name, you get a good seat.
Guess where I'm going,
one of them. All right. Well, let me do this. Give you the winners of stakes races that were foaled in Kentucky, bred in Kentucky over this past weekend, all the way up to the week as far as that goes. The Kennedy Road Stakes at Woodbine last Saturday went to Calgary Cat, which is bred by Windstar Farm. How about that? But foaled in Ontario. I shouldn't put that, but I bet it was raised over there. At Windstar. Huh. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to plug a Canadian bread, but there you go. Let's see what we got here. The Cardinal Handicap Grade 3. See if I got this one right. Absolutely. Strike Charmer won that. That's a Smart Strike filly. Of course, Smart Strike over Ed leans in. Bred by Cortland Farm. Take Charge Brandy won the Delta Downs Princess Stakes. It's a Grade 3 race with a pot of $400,000. Of course, so she won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. And she is a 2-year-old filly by Giants Causeway. Giants Causeway currently the leading sire of 2-year-olds in the nation as far as that goes for money won. 14 2-year-old winners. I think 6 of them have won a place in stakes. And this one was bred by the Charming Syndicate. The mare's name, the dam of Take Charge Brandy, is Charming, so that's where that comes from. Also, a Delta Downs, the Delta Downs jackpot with its Grade 3 race with $1 million pot. Ocho, Ocho, Ocho won that, bred by Sienna Farms. That's a Bourbon County outfit out on the Winchester Road. I've never been out there. I've driven by it, but I've never been on there. He's by Street Sense. The Red Carpet Handicap Grade 3 at Del Mar. Three Hearts won that by Hat Trick. Stands over here at Gainesway Farm. This one bred by Team Valor. Do they race it? They own and bred him. How about that? Okay, I guess they raced Hat Trick, too. I guess they probably own him. He was foaled in Japan, as well as I can remember. The Glorious Song Stakes at Woodbine winner was Mississippi Delta. That's another 2-year-old filly by Giants Causeway. This one bred by Mike Rutherford. Mike owns Manchester Farm over on the Rice Road. The Orleans Stakes at Delta Downs winner was Honeycomb Alley. Honeycomb Alley, Fleet Alex, bred by John and Bev Passarello. Hope I pronounced that right, but I'm probably 8-5 to screw it up. The Treasure Chest Stakes at Delta Downs winner. Boy, look at this name. Y-A-H-I-L-Y-A. How would you pronounce that? Yehilwa? Yehilwa? That's close as I can get. It's a Medalli Dodo bred by Avalon Farms. Let's see, the Hyde Park Stakes at Kempton in Great Britain went to Sloan Avenue, bred by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dill Snyder. That was on the 9th. The November the 26th, Zia Park Oaks, a $300,000 race, went to Cassatt, C-A-S-S-A-F-T, Cassatt. Anyway, that's a Tempet filly, bred by Mount Brion Farm, over on the Russell Cave Road. The Zia Park Distance Championship Handicap, $150,000. Now, they call this a distance, but I guess it is for Zia Park. It's just 1 1/8 miles. And the winner was Isn't He Clever, a Smarty Jones, bred by Monocule. On Thursday, the Fall City Handicap Grade 2 at Churchill Downs winner was Frivolous, a 4-year-old filly by Empire Maker, who is now standing in Japan, of course, started out at Judmont Farm, won the Belmont Stakes. And he was bred by Mr. G. Watts Humphrey, Jr. from down at Shawnee Farm. The Hall Fall Highway Handicap Grade 3 winner, Salutus Amigos, by Salute the Sarge. I don't know where in the world he is. But it's a 4-year-old gelding bred by John Hadley Thoroughbreds. Anybody know where Salute the Sarge stands? Grub, you know where Salute the Sarge stands?
Oh, I never heard of that one.
He never even heard of it.
That's a good horse.
Yeah. The Fall Highway Handicap on Thursday, Grade 3 race, went to Salutus Amigo. Well, I just gave you that. Well, he'd run it again. Interval race. The Hollywood Turf Cup, Grade 2 on Thursday, winner was Finnegan's Wake. You'd think he'd be an Irish bred, but he was foaled and Kentucky bred by Jerry Crawford. He was by Powers Court. Good morning. Let's see. That was on Thursday. On Friday, the Clark Handicap, that was yesterday, wasn't it? That's when Mike was getting, Michael Bowen was getting all over me about Opportunity won that by Any Given Saturday, bred by Betts, J, the DJ Staples, Chuck Kidder, another Betts, and Robinault. That's Nancy Robinault. And, of course, that's Bill Betts. So I'm sure that was probably raised on Macaulay Products. That's a grade one Clark Handicap. Opportunity. What is he? A three-year-old colt? Huh. Won by half a length. Ride nice kind of a horse. Grade one stakes winner. That's makes him ride nice kind of a horse, doesn't it? All right. Well, point of entry broke his maiden on the Dirty Belmont by 15 and a half lengths. Then things warmed up. He won the grade one Man of War, the grade one Sword Dancer Invitational, the grade one Joe Hirsch Turf Classic Invitational, the grade one Woodford Reserve Manhattan Handicap, the grade one Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap, the grade two Elkhorn Stakes, set a new course record at Keeneland, and was a game second in the Breeders' Cup Turf. And he retired with earnings of $2,494,490. Needless to say, he was a flat runner. And he has a superb pedigree. He's one of some 145 stakes winners by the grand sire, Dinah Former. He's a half-brother to the classic-winning filly Pine Island, out of a daughter of leading sire Seeking the Gold. Second dam produced Millionaire Pleasant Home, winner of the Breeders' Cup Distaff and over $1,385,000. She also produced the graded stakes winner Country Hideaway. And she's a grand dam of five graded stakes winners. His third dam is the grade one winner Maple Jinsky, the dam of grade one winner Sky Beauty. The fourth dam is the great champion, Gold Beauty, by Mr. Prospector. Didn't get much better than that. First foals by point of entry are due 2015. And he stands for $25,000. Payable when the foal stands and nurses. Give the farm a call at 859-987-1798 and see the website at adinastallions.com.
ESPN, Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
Well, include a side 19 runners that won or placed in grade one stakes. That's worth repeating. 19. Where else can you find a sire with 19 grade one horses standing for $10,000 live foal? Six of the 19 won grade one stakes. And include himself was a grade one stakes winner of more than $1,659,000. And he's a son of champion sire Broad Brush. Include stands at Airdrie Stud, home also of the Stallions Cairo Prince. Am I pronouncing that right? Do you remember? Cairo Prince. It's either Cairo Prince or Cairo Prince. Cairo. Yes, it's Cairo because it's... Oh. Yeah, okay. Cairo Prince. I'll get it right one of these years if I live long enough. Creative Cause, Divine Park, Hainesfield, Istan, Majestic Perfection, and Proud Citizens. Now, Cairo Prince.
Cairo.
Cairo Prince is a newcomer. I'm going to have to get in touch with Burry Jones to have him change that horse's name.
Something easy.
Cairo Prince is a multiple graded stakes winner by the nation's number one second crop sire, Pioneer of the Nile. And pronounce that one. A superb individual, he was both the most expensive weanling and yearling from Pioneer of the Nile's first crop. He's going to stand his first season for $10,000 live foal, and you need to go see him. Everybody said, I haven't seen him yet down at Airdrie Stud, but they say he's a superb individual. And you're going to like what you see. Grade 1 winners, Grade 1 sires, all standing for reasonable stud fees at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com and keep in mind that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Mike, when talk to me. Grubby, sit still. Talk too. I got it. I need a four for bridge. Jerry, pull up a chair here. Mike Cameron and Leonard Atkins. Two old hard boots. No, hell, you're from Michigan.
He's from Michigan. I'm a hard boot.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a hard boot. You ever tell people what that means?
What, a hard boot?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your definition? Go ahead.
Well, my definition...
Probably different from mine. Go ahead.
Well, no, I always heard that when they were running the flatboats down the Mississippi to New Orleans, and all those people that would come down there from Kentucky had on these old, rough, hewn boots, and that's why the name Hard Boots stuck.
Yeah. They got rough from walking around in those early morning dews that we had around here. You know, if you've got leather shoes, and I guess they were made out of deer skin at that time, you know.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, bear skin or buffalo skin or.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they skin an Indian or two. I don't know. But anyway.
So what do they call people in Michigan? I'm sure it's not anything that complimentary.
Yankees.
Yankees, mostly.
Yeah, but Wilbur came out of Michigan to River Downs.
I'm a graduate of River Downs. And they closed my school down.
Well, I want to tell you what, it's probably one of the great educations in the world.
It was good to me. Good to me.
Yeah, you knew everybody down there. They had by Razor, didn't they?
I was there when I was about 16, and I guess I was there till I was about 29, 30.
Yeah.
It was a great place to grow up. Coney Island was right next door. You had your own swimming pool, amusement park, horses.
What'd you do, jump the fence? I know you. You're too cheap to climb it. You didn't pay to get in.
Me and a jock used to get a season's pass, and we'd split it. He'd hand it back to me through the fence. Oh. So we'd go back to we shared a pass.
You know, when I was a freshman in college over at UK, they opened up the Coliseum and they gave you those student passes.
Right.
And the basketball games, of course, you couldn't hardly get into those games at that time, you know. A friend of mine named Frank Ross from up northern Kentucky was from Bellevue. And we would do that. He would take his ticket or my ticket, either one, you know, and sell it out there, and he'd go up and would throw it out the head. They were too dumb, but halfway up the first ramp, there was a window, and you could throw it back out, and I'd get it and go sell it again. We used to make $15 or $20, $700 a pop, you know.
I always heard
that was a lot of money at that time.
Well, yeah, I always heard the story about the old guy that for years walked in with the band carrying a tuba, and that's how he came in.
Couldn't play a lick.
No, he did. Some friend of his would hand him the tuba, and he'd walk in up until he was in his 60s.
You know, I hate to tell you how old I am, but I saw the Fabulous Five play in an alumni gym before they opened the Memorial Coliseum.
Well, you had to, because it didn't open until after they were gone. They opened in 51, I believe, and that was the year when Hagen and Ramsey and that bunch came on the scene.
Yeah, but there was, I saw them play there, and I never paid to get in because, once again, they had the team that would go warm up and everything, and they wouldn't go back down to the locker room, you know. They'd go in this room and had these windows right there, and where you could climb in, you know. There was a kind of a ledge where you could walk out. You know, it was on the second level there.
Yeah, I've been in it.
Yeah, okay. And Humsey Essen, who was a manager there, he'd come back, you know, everybody would leave, the team would leave, go back to play, and he'd come and open that window, and the kids would pile in, man. I tell you what.
Well, you ought to go down there and see it now, because when you walk in the old alumni gym, you realize it's not as big as Bourbon County's gym. It's not very big at all.
No, I can remember.
It's tiny.
Know? Yeah. It's right there on what they call the Avenue of Champions. That was Euclid then.
Euclid, yeah. I think they've gone back to Euclid from, it's only Avenue of Champions from that point to past the Coliseum.
Past the Coliseum, yeah, the Crossroads Street there.
Right.
And then it turned back to Euclid.
But back to River Downs, what Grubby's talking about, it really was a great education, because you have to realize those were pretty cheap horses that were running up there then. And, you know, to keep those old cheap horses together, you got to do everything you can to them. You got to rub on them, and you learn how to be a real true horseman by handling horses like that.
Those horses used to jump in the ice tubs. You didn't have to try to put them in, they'd jump in them. They couldn't wait to get in them.
Yeah. Did they have the automatic water or walkers there at that time?
Not at that time, they didn't.
Didn't have
them. No, that was way up the road.
Yeah.
That was way up the road.
Because, you know, a lot of them trained on those things, you know.
Well, the first ones I ever saw was at Beulah Park. A guy there was building them and selling them.
Oh, okay.
And that's the first time anybody had ever seen any of them. Some guy around there had a welding shop, and he made walkers and sold them for $600 a piece, and people cried and carried on, and they were giving the hot walkers $50 a week, so...
Put
them all out of business, all the hot walkers.
Yeah. I remember Ursel going up there the first time when I was a young horse trainer years and years ago at River Downs, and I had a horse that was bleeding. Mm-hmm. And an old horseman there at River Downs, he says, well, I tell you what you do. what you do is you tie, take a wire and put it around the top of its tail, and that will stop it. I said, how can that stop? I don't know, but it does. And by golly, it still does. That was an old way of solving a horse that was a bleeder.
Oh, well, there was all kinds of stories. We used to.
I don't believe that for a heartbeat.
They used to say you put pennies in a water bucket and keep a mare from horsing.
Yeah.
And
hell, nobody had pennies.
Well, you go around and rob them at night.
Yeah. Yeah, but they didn't stay at River Downs long.
No. They were checking all those water buckets.
I'm checking those water buckets. Yeah,
never mind that stall. That's a guilty.
That's a,
yeah. Oh, Lord, first flyer never has a shot around here, does it? Oh, gosh. Let me take a break here. Well, Blaine broke his maiden as a 2-year-old at Keeneland. Then he went on at 3 and 4 to win 7 graded stakes, 3 of them grade 1, including the Breeders' Cup Classic and an Eclipse Award. And he earned $4,368,214. Blaine's first crop is racing at 2 this year, and they're emulating their sire. 75% of his starters have won a place. Doing it at the major tracks now, at Keeneland and Churchill Downs, at Gulfstream, Saratoga, Santa Anita, Monmouth, Arlington, Belmont, Del Mar. His Hollywood Critic is graded placed at Woodbine. He's got 2 going today in the La Touraine up at Churchill Downs. Now, although Blaine posted 9 consecutive 100-plus buyer speed ratings at 3 and 4, he was a classic stayer, and he's about Arch. And, of course, Arch is a source of classic stamina. The leading first crop sales sires by weanlings, yearlings, and 2-year-olds, Blaine is to stand the 2015 season for $20,000 doing the full stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams out of Claiborne, 859-223-4252, and see the website at claibornefarm.com. I want to talk about a friend of mine and Grubbs and Mike's too. That would be Hill Parker, who's in the real estate business and been, if you ever want to sell your house, Grubby, up here on Swigert, there you, we call Hill or Reagan Parker. They're the people you call.
They're the people.
Yeah, and they're wonderful people. And Hill's a pretty good horseman, too. He was an A-level pony clubber. And right, got to be a little on the nutty side because he rode steeplechasers. You got to be a little bit crazy to do that.
He can gallop a horse, that's for sure.
Oh, he's good.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's about 17 hands himself, though.
Oh, he's easy 17.
Yeah. Anyway, but they've been selling real estate for over 12, 13 years now, and they're very experienced at what they do. They're really nice people. And, of course, he was a hands-on horseman, and if you're looking for a horse farm, he knows what horsemen want, and he can find it for you. And they've got a great website. I'll give it to you in a second. They've got listings at just about every county around here, Fayette, Bourbon, Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark. Outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices, and they'll do a wonderful job for you, work real hard for you. They just sold one. So just sold a farm right down close to you, Michael.
Well, where's that?
Where you live down there?
On Austerlitz Road or Briar Hill, the extension of Briar Hill.
Yeah, I wonder. They just sold one down there.
Oh, I didn't realize
Nina that. Horn's farm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and she was just tickled to death with what they did.
Wow, you know? I didn't know that. I know Nina. She's a nice gal.
Yeah, nice farm, and he got it done post-haste, and she was really tickled to death with
Loch Ness, she called it.
Yeah, right, yeah. I wonder if there are any monsters on there.
No. Well, there's a lot in Clintonville. They might wander over there.
Anyway, he just sold that one for him. So give him a call. Here's your home number. It's a Lexington number. It's 859-608-8039. And their website is lexhorsefarms.com. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. Well, Tiz Deja Vu was a catch me if you can front runner. Used to train right out here, and we all saw him train here at the training center. He won more graded stakes in North America than any other son of the big horse sire, Tizway. And he's passing on his speed. His first crop are 2-year-olds. His speedy Tiz Gorgeous broke her maiden wire-to-wire fashion in a maiden special at Arlington. She won by over 8 lengths, and she ran second in the Smart Deb Stakes in Chicago just last week. Miss Deja Vu won at First Asking down at Gulfstream, came right back and taken an allowance optional at the same track, going 6 furlongs, galloping out to win by over 2 lengths after getting the early fractions in 22-2 and 45-2. U.S. Navy has a first, a second, and a third in his first 3 starts, all in maiden specials. Yolomar G, in 4 starts, has 2 wins, a second, and a third. Tiz Deja Vu excelled at the middle distances. He won 5 stakes, 4 graded,
four stakes at Churchill, and a fifth at Arlington. He also placed in grade one stakes at Arlington. He earned over $693,000. Stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Give him a call, 859-252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. Well, what was the name of that mare that you had up here that when we and I first had barn 15 down there?
Miss Newgate.
Miss Newgate. And she could kick a chew tobacco out of your mouth at 20 paces. Good.
She was fast. She was fast.
Oh, she was fast and she was common.
We put a wooden floor in there. She sounded like Fred Astaire dancing in her stall.
Yeah.
But she went to South America and had a couple graded stake winners.
Down in South America?
Yeah, she had a couple graded winners down there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You used to run with one of those run-out bits.
Oh, run a blinker with a piece of white tape down the side of it. So
yeah, didn't you have a bit that stuck out to about here? Yeah, you did. I remember seeing
it. Yeah, one time or another.
You just didn't want her claim.
I tried to sell her, and nobody wanted her, so I just kept running her down her throats.
Yeah, I know. How many? You went six in a row with her down
there? Went six in a row with her up there.
Yeah, nobody. Everybody afraid to touch her.
She went every week the month of August.
Did she?
A lot of times they look at the trainer whether they decide to claim a horse. They go, I'm not touching that horse.
Well, she had enough equipment on her to scare you off.
Every time you needed money, you just put her on the truck.
Is that right?
Just load her up.
I got a story on you that I remember.
Oh, my God. Turn the lights off, will you? Turn his mic off.
Ursel, was over here in the barn, and I don't remember the name of the horse. I don't know if it was Coach or one of those, but you ran it at River Downs.
Coach Curley?
Coach Curley, maybe. You ran it for River Downs. You ran it for the cheapest you'd ever run it. Maybe five. I'm not sure. But anyway, you put the little, rolled up the pieces of vet wrap and put it on the inside of the vet wrap that you put around to wrap the bandages with. Looks like she had knots sticking out of her legs to keep from claiming her.
Ursa would do that.
I don't know, but I always thought that's a pretty good idea there now.
Well, I made him eligible for those starters.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier on the show, what people would do to get eligible for those starters. You know,
those are tough races to run in unless you run long.
Yeah, boy, but once you get eligible.
Yeah.
Oh, well, man. I had to run them long because mine were all slow. And we won races going long, but almost everything, you know, we had to. I had to sell. You remember Charlie Wise? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. He and Bob Murray and his crew, they bought everything I had out of two mares, and they were the best two mares I had. You know, the only thing I ever got to race out of Grand Pet, you remember Grand Pet?
Oh, and you give me Grand Pet. Yeah. I was the one that killed her.
Well, I sold her for $1, you son of a gun. You still owe me.
Well, she ruptured an aorta and died after she had that last filly that I kept out of her. But
yeah, well, that old mare, that one you kept, she'd been good to you.
Oh, my God.
He sold $250,000 horse worth out of that mare.
Yeah, her foals wound up earning over a quarter or a half million.
Well, I mean, you sold them.
I sold some out of that dollar mare. I sold some horses out of her.
And he never paid me that dollar yet.
Well, you didn't need it. When you need it, I'm going to give it to you.
Well, these people are tough for two.
You know, you're talking about those starter races. I remember there was a guy right here in this room, and we're at still call it the chaplain's office. It's the HBPA office.
Yeah.
Now. But there was a guy in here, and he had been running this horse, I don't know, 10, 15 times, running it over its head, hadn't even got a smell of hitting the board. And so anyway, he finally dropped it to 7,500 down to 5,000. I said, well, it's about time you did that. He said, well, I figured I better go ahead and get it eligible for starter races. Right. Well, it couldn't win for $3,500, and he was getting it eligible for starter races. And the toughest races in the world are those old starter races.
Yeah, usually if you're running for five, you're running against horses that work 75 to 12.5 in that race. Would you think that was about right?
Yeah, and horses that earn $300,000 and $400,000.
Yeah, I ran out there with my little mare. Just last fall, I guess it was, and last spring, and it was a starter race, and every horse in the race had made over $100,000.
They were tough on you. You remember the ones I used to run? Remember Here to One and Roosh?
Oh yeah,
yeah. But they were running long.
You know, yeah, I mean, it that race changes the. the sprints in those starter races can get really hairy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the route races tend to, the horses that can go that distance kind of beat them out. So, yeah. But the
where oh, am
no,
I?
No, you're fine. No, that's we always train them to go long if they were slow. But you were talking about Ursel and the bumps and the horses yeah. and all that kind of stuff. That was a Turfway, and we stood him in ice water.
That was a different one.
Oh, that was a different one.
That's what Grubby said.
That horse was sounder than me.
Did you hear Grubb say that about the horses at River Downs? They would all only was, place where they jump in the high stuff.
Jump up in it.
Oh, well, Close Hatches won 7 stakes, all graded 5, grade 1. The Classic Mother Goose, the Ogden Phipps, the Personal Ensign, the Cotillion, the Apple Blossom closed a career with earnings of over $2,700,000, and for the second straight year, she's an Eclipse Award finalist. Close Hatches is by First Defense. Don Donnell won the Group 3 Acom Stakes, the King Charles II Stakes, and placed in 3 more stakes, including the Group 2 Champagne and the Group 3 Craven. Pistols Drawn won the Pretty Jenny Stakes in Chicago. Tom Belaine, a 2-year-old this year, finished 2nd in Group 2 Stakes. The Group 2 of them, as a matter of fact. The Tyros, which is Group 3 in England, and the Group 3 Juvenile Turf over in Ireland. New Line has finished 2nd in the Trippy Stakes at Belmont. Beach Hunt, placed in this year's running in the San Pedro out at Santa Anita. Smoking in the Boys Room, stakes place right here in Kentucky. All sired by First Defense, and the list of mares covered by First Defense since his first crop came out running reads like a who's who of breeding. Grade 1 stakes winners, Grade 1 producers, the list just goes on and on. First Defense's future at stud is bright indeed. Stands at Judmont Farm, 10,000 live. Full inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. What am I missing here? Oh, Macaulay's. I'm not missing. Here it is. November 22 at Woodbine, the Grade 2 Kennedy Road Stakes was won by Calgary Cat. And Calgary Cat was bred and raised on products from Macaulay Brothers at Windstar Farm. And that same day at Delta Downs, the $200,000 Treasure Chest Stakes went to Yawilda, a filly bred by Avalon Farms, and she, too, was raised on Macaulay products. Congratulations from the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. Through last Saturday, horses raised on Macaulay products have won 181 stakes this year. 96 of them were graded stakes and 26 of them grade 1 stakes. That's quite a record, and the folks at Macaulay Brothers are proud to be associated with many of the world's finest horsemen. To raise them right, the right way. Call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333 and see the website at MacaulayBros.com. Ask about the free services that are available with every bag of feed you purchase. And you're welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. Today's race and form, and I forgot to bring it out here, but... left it laying at home on a card table.
I'm looking for Sundays. I was in Sunday and scratched.
You were in Sunday with your filly?
I was in Sunday and scratched.
I just, Michael Bowen stole it.
Well.
Yeah, you know Michael.
Yes.
I heard he's a thief.
Yeah.
Well, he'd have made a good job, Sage.
You probably heard it right here.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, this week, they got a good, I love Joe Hovday. I think he's a great writer.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, John Sparkman, who used to, right up here, used to live up here. And as a matter of fact, he was writing, I think he lives down in Tennessee now, but he is writing about Giants Causeway, who was the leading sire of 2-year-olds this year. And they got, of course, PPs from Churchill and Aqueduct and Gulfstream and Fairgrounds and Woodbine in tomorrow's edition. And what you need to do is to sign up for Daily Racing Form's new breeding newsletter. Go to drf.com/breeding today and sign up for that. It's a great paper. It's the Bible of racing. And absolutely, something you can't do with that. A Grubb came over here looking for one. And Michael, come back here with that form. Grubb wants to read it. DailyRacingForm.com. It's the racing's Bible. All right, I'm talking to two old buddies here. And this we're here in HBPA office. There's been a whole lot going on and go down through the years in this office. Remember when they had this? They used to have the Alcoholics Anonymous sign up in here, you know.
Yeah.
And said, you know, meeting so and so, and somebody put down a BYOB, bring your own bottle.
I do. Another great story, too, that happened right in here was, that was back before there were cell phones. Not everybody had one, or they were just getting started. So all of us would use the phone in here to make entries and do things like that. So Gail Powell, an old horse hauler from around here, who was a great guy, who is no longer with us. In fact, you drove for him for years.
Oh, yeah.
One time, Ursel won a race at River Downs.
Yeah.
And so anyway, Gail got the big idea. He had a fax at home, and he sent a fax here that saying, "Ursel Ellis, please call Stewart's at River Downs."
Hell, I'd already spent the money.
And so go ahead and tell the story from there, what happened.
Well, I called him, you know, like I said, to call him. And I says, "This is Ursel Ellis." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I've got a message here that I was supposed to call you." He says, "Hang on a minute." And I waited, you know, waited, and finally come back and says, "Ursel," says, "I don't think we wanted you for anything." And I thought, that damn Gail Powell. It popped into my mind. I said, "Well, I'm sorry to bother you." Because they called me one day, though. You remember when I scratched that horse when it was... I wanted to run on the grass up there.
Yes, I do. I remember what you told them too.
You know, you could in Kentucky, if they change the conditions of a race, you can take off of it. You know, they do it all the time. You know, if a race is scheduled on the grass and goes to dirt, you know, you know. In fact, they run now in the paper and everywhere. It says for the main track only.
Right.
Yeah. So I called up and I says, "I'm coming out," and. They said, "Why?" I said, "I don't want to run on the dirt." And they said, "Well, you're not coming out." And I said, "Yes, I am." So we went around, around, around. And finally, I got mad. You know, they baby that grass track up there, you know, and everything. And I mean, a little cloud passes.
Oh, it sprinkles they take off of.
Yeah, somebody takes a wee-wee at the 3/8 pole, they cancel racing on it, you know. And I said, "What the hell are you doing, saving that track for the rip for the Breeders' Cup?" And he fined me $50. Me and my big mouth.
Actually, I walked a horse over that you're running on the grass, and they wait till all the horses get by. They got the starting gate sitting on the turf course, and just as soon as you get past the starting gate, they pull it off and make sure that nobody's going to scratch out.
Make sure you can't get back home.
Yeah. You remember that little horse grubby that I used to have named 50 Ways?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I ran him up there one day, and what was the name of that ride? He rides up in Massachusetts a lot now. You know who I'm talking about.
I do know who you mean.
Jackie, you remember that rider that fell off 50 ways that day coming out of the gate? Rides up at Red Suffolk Downs now.
I don't remember
it. Well, anyway, I'll think of it. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and tell you.
Call Grubb.
Yeah, call Grubb. We're going a mile and 16th up there, and the horse stumbled coming out of the gate, and he came off. You know, and this little horse was a smart little sucker. You know how they fall around, you know?
Bush.
Oh, yeah. Vernon Bush.
Yeah, that's his name. Yeah. Like, what was his first name? Do you remember?
Vernon.
Vernon Bush.
That's right.
That's right. And Vernon came off, you know. It wasn't his fault. Horse went to his knees. But, you know, that's just the way it goes. But he got all the way around to the gap where you go back to the barns, and he turned and went back to the barn, you know, and they had to go all the way back, you know, to with the outrider to get the tack off of him for, you know, the riders get Vernon's tack back, you know. But that was a smart little horse. He knew what he was doing. He won, yeah.
Did you tell him about you let him ride him again?
Oh, no.
Yes. He put him back on the horse.
I was a slow learner.
And he lost. And some real tall, skinny blonde guy was on the apron, you know, up by the thing. And he came back and he took his beer can and he slammed it on the ground. He said, "Yeah, that horse ran better when you fell off."
That's a true story. I love that little horse. We rescued him. He was got down on the, running on the bottom up there. And, what was the name of the guy that used to run horses for us all?
Bernard Dishman.
Yeah, Bernard.
Bernard Dishman.
Bernard used to run horses for us all over Turfway all the time.
Danner had him. from you.
Yeah.
Danner.
Yeah, they died. Yeah, right. He claimed him from me. We lost him for $5,000. And he had him for a couple of years. Anyway, we told Bernard. Bernard was working in the mutuals at River Downs at that time. We said, watch that little horse. We said, something goes bad with him, let us know. And he didn't finish one day, you know, just. And so we called him up, and Mr. Dannard, and says, look, we'll give you the killer price for him, and we'll give you $300 for him. We don't even want the papers. He says, come get him. So we went up there and got him. He didn't live very long. He lived about 18, 19. When he passed away. Passed away when...
He, I think, to tell you the truth, remember EPM?
Oh, yeah. Early stages before anybody knew what it was.
He died right as all those mares were dying and nobody knew about those stupid worms and
caterpillars,
cherry trees. And I think that he may have, that may have gotten him because it was his heart just went down. But anyway, that was just as all that was happening. And
well, that was the biggest scare in the country. Every horse had EPM, and
it wasn't EPM.
No,
it was
oh, you're talking about that the mare syndrome.
You said
MRLS.
MRLS. You said EPM.
MRLS. Mare.
EPM is when they go bad behind, you know.
Claimed it came from possums and things like that.
Yeah,
it was equine protozoa myelitis is what the actual term of
his
it
was. His daddy was a doctor.
Well, actually, something happened. They really did. Every time a horse would not run well or act anyway, they'd say, it's got EPM.
Yeah.
So everybody would start treating it. And anyway, the you treated him with I believe it was Daraprim.
Expensive.
It was like $115 a week to treat these horses with it. So I asked my dad one day. I said, "Do you know what Daraprim is?" He said, "Well, sure. With use it for people with malaria and things like that." I said, "Can you get it for me?" He said, "Well, yeah, I expect so." And so he wrote me a prescription, got it for me like that, and it went from $115 a week that the vets were charging, cost me $20 a week. That's how much the Daraprim cost.
So why you didn't run out here pinhooking it?
Well, I should have. They had a cottage industry going of selling this Daraprim, which is a very inexpensive drug.
All right, well, I got to take a break. Listen, I'm going to got to get Steve Moody on here. So I appreciate you guys sitting in with me this
morning. Thank you, Ursel.
It's been fun talking to you.
Yes, it has been.
Yeah, I'll talk to you later. When the stallion is siring 15% stakes horses, you should take note. DeHire is siring 19% stakes horses. That's right at one in every five of his starters, and he's siring 75% winners. It doesn't get much better than that, especially when you consider that DeHire stands for a most reasonable $5,000 live foal. DeHare was quite a runner himself. He posted a 114 buyer speed rating the day he won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile and 110 to win the Grade 2 Jerome Stakes at Belmont. DeHare is by Awesome Again, the only winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic at Stud in America to have sired a winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic and an emerging sire of sires. Irish Cherry, the stakes winning dam of DeHare, also produced the Grade 1 stakes winner Sponge Sugar. DeHar has a Grade 1 pedigree, top and bottom, stands at Shadwell Farm. Fee again, $5,000 live foal. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes at 859-224-4585 and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports using APR Online?
Well, two of the three leading second crop sires at stud in North America stand at Windstar Farm. Pioneer of the Nile, Colonel John. Colonel John's a sire of 10 stakes horses in his first two crops. Among them, two graded stakes winners, three $100,000 stakes winners, and two Grade 1 stakes horses. He sires tough, hard-hitting runners. He has $800,000 plus earners, and he's the second leading sophomore sire at stud in North America by number of winners. Colonel John is the great Tiz Now's leading money winner at stud in North America. Winner of the historic Grade 1 Travelers and the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby. He earned over $1,779,000. He stands for $10,000 payable when the foal stands in nurses. And remember, he had yearling sale for up to $280,000 this year. Windstar Farm is also the home of his sire. Tis Now, sire 56 stakes winners, 12 Grade 1 or Group 1 stakes winners, and of yearlings that have sold for up to $1,350,000 this year. For more on the Windstar Stallions, call Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson at 859-873-1717 and see the website windstarfarm.com. All righty. Well, I have Steve Moody with me this morning. I think they're running a couple of stakes up there, graded ones, both for two-year-olds today, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, Ursula, both. Matter of fact, all 12 races are two-year-olds today.
Okay. Well, let's just talk about the two graded stakes.
Right. The ninth is the Goldenrod, and the 11th is the Kentucky Jockey Club. We'll start with the ninth. The track is listed as fast and good up there today. No scratches in the Goldenrod. This, of course, a two-year-old fillies, a mile and a 16th, a $200,000 purse, a grade two. And field of 12, pretty well-matched bunch. You'd have a tough time throwing out very many in here, or maybe one or two that look like maybe don't belong. But other than that, I think anybody could win it. I went for West Coast Bell, the 8, for Wayne Catalano. It's a filly by Tappet, and she's 2 for 2. Was a very easy winner in the Rags to Riches Stakes last time out. That was about 5 weeks ago, and at Churchill, and she'll step up and try two turns for the first time today. But by Tappet, I don't think she'll have any problem doing that. I think she's going to be the one to beat. Simply Confection, who is the four horse. This is a Candy Rad filly by Jink Fires. She was second to West Coast Bell two starts back, and then came out of that race and came back with an easy win when trying two turns. So I think if you like West Coast Bell, you gotta take a long look at Simply Confection. She's priced on the morning line 6 to 1, and of course stepping up the ladder. But she really liked the switch to a route race last time, so I think she's got a big shot in here. The two horses, another one, No Fault of Mine. He was an easy winner up in Chicago on Polytrack, and she'll try the dirt for the first time today. But pedigree wise, looks like she could handle the switch to the dirt. We just have to see, but she can't be counted out in here. But very very evenly matched group in here, Ursel. I'm going to give the slight edge to West Coast Bell, 2 for 2, and obviously likes the racetrack at Churchill. So we're going to go, 8-4-2 in the Goldenrod.
All right.
And then in the Jockey Club, we had 12 drawn, but there's one scratch this morning, the four horse. Moonlight Bandit, an outsider, 30 to 1, for Mark Cassie, has been scratched. So we'll have 11 running in here. The one thing that sort of jumped out at me, Ursel, it looked like there's a pretty fair amount of speed in here. Of course, the quickest of the bunch looks to be the 5 El Kabir for John Terranova. Has a lot of speed, but they are taking blinkers off of him today, so he may not show quite the amount that he had before, but there's other speed in here too, coming from the inside. Sky Hero in the one hole has good speed. The Baffert runner, Lord Nelson, who was a sprinter, stretching out to two turns for the first time, he figures to show speed. On the outside, Flash Away, he figures to show speed. So with three or four speed horses in here, I just thought that pace is going to be fairly quick. It's set up for something that can be running at the end. So the more I looked, I kind of went round and round in this race, but ended up going with the 8-horse Imperia for Kieran McLaughlin. this colt has been running on the grass, three starts on the grass, but from what I understand, the reason they did it is because they were looking for two turn races, and really that's about all you can get in the summertime or fall. A lot of times is if you want to go two turns is to switch to the grass. So that's what they've done with this horse. But pedigree wise, it looks like shouldn't have a problem with dirt, and the horse has been working all along on the dirt. Seems to be running pretty well, working well on it. So I don't think that it'll be too big of an issue. The horse definitely has the right running style to fit here. It's going to be running from off the pace. Had a rough trip last time. I think this horse has a big license to improve today. 8-1 on the morning line, so I'm going to take a shot with him. Robbie Alvarado has got the mount. Horse on the far outside from Kenny McPeak's barn, Jumping Frack Flash. Another one that's, this one's been, since they put Lasix in this horse, been steadily improving with each race. Another one that figures to be running at the end. So he's a big price, 15-1. And then the Baffert runner, Lord Nelson, as I mentioned, is a sprinter that's would run from off the pace when he was sprinting, but he is going two turns today, so you got to think he's going to be closer to the pace. He may not get to the front with El Kabir, but I think he'll be fairly close. I think he could hang on to get part of it, but we're going to go for a little upset in the Jockey Club with the 8 Imperia, 8-12 and 9. 8-12-9 in the Jockey Club.
Okay. All right, Steve. Thank you so much. This has been Steve Moody, who's the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. You can go to brisnet.com and get that. And they sell them around town where they sell racing forms, and probably get them, I think you can get them out of Keenan. Isn't that right, Steve?
Yeah, Ursel. Yeah, nope. Today's the last stake. Of course, tomorrow's the meet ends, and we're going to make a little bit of a change. We're normally would be have done fairgrounds, but we're going to switch this year and be doing Gulfstream.
Oh, okay. Man, very good. Yeah, well, that's fun. All right, well, and we're on from 10 to 12 next week, Steve, so thank goodness. Thanks so much, Steve. We appreciate it, and talk to you next week.
All righty.
Well, Indian Charlie Stud Fee has climbed to $75,000 at the time of his death. He had sired the winners of 3 Eclipse Awards. The two best 2-year-old colts by Indian Charlie were Uncle Mo and Liaison. Both winners of Grade 1 stakes as 2-year-olds. They went on to win graded stakes as older horses. Uncle Mo entered stud for $25,000, and he's been extremely well received. Liaison entered stud this year for $10,000 due when the foal stands and nurses, and he too was popular with breeders. So the two have got a lot in common. Liaison won a Grade 1 cash call for Tourdi in the Real Open Stakes as a 2-year-old after spending 7 furlongs and 1, 22, and 3 to break his maiden at Santa Anita. He then went on to win the Grade 2 Mervyn LeRoy Handicap, the Santana Mile, with placings in 5 more stakes, 4 graded. Liaison's dam, Galloping Gal, won 2 stakes at Keeneland, where she also ran 2nd in the Grade 2, now Grade 1, Alcibiades, and the pedigree's loaded with black type. Liaison was assigned 120 pounds on the experimental, above the likes of Alpha and Gemologist and Take Charge Indian. I'll have another, and here's the good news. He's eligible for Spendthrift's popular breed secure program. You breed, you sell, and if you don't make a profit, you don't pay. Inquiries to Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030, and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. All righty. Well, let me see. Let me give you the winners of races that came out of the Thoroughbred Center this month. Been kind of light this month because they canceled a whole lot of racing this month, as far as that goes. I mean, that I don't know how many days of racing they canceled it. So, but we've got 18 winners so far this month. I don't think we had 18 days of racing, but there you go. But anyway, since last week's show. Let's see who has won. Jim Rankin won with Draw Nigh down at Mountaineer. Jim has got his farm down in Bourbon County. Tommy Short has been training out here for a long time. He's been on a roll this year. He's been winning a lot of races. He won at Mountaineer with a horse named Deliver. Up at Churchill Downs on the 26th, Tommy Mills won with Made on a Mission. And that was, that might have been one of the feature races. I don't know. A filly can run anyway. Let's see, up at Mahoning Valley, which is, has replaced River Downs. You know, it's, they moved it to, no, it's replaced Beulah Park, excuse me. They closed Beulah, now they're racing up at Mahona Valley, new track up there. And Maria Pinzon took two up there the other day and won two races, with one with Zadonia in the second race and came back in the fourth, same day, with a horse named Gunstar. Other winners this month, Tim Shorter, Jim Rankin again, Luis Horado, Anthony Hamilton Jr., Brian Michael again. Both those are Churchill, Brian. You're on a roll there. Pavel Matishka, Tommy Bergen, one with Holy Moses. I like that name. Eldolfo Marcius won at Churchill. Tommy Short won another one. Anthony Hamilton Jr. had another one. And Ted Lucas won at Mountaineer. And Emma Mulvey won with Hot Latin Lover up at Churchill. Paid a bundle of money. Paid $90-something. Didn't bet anything for Will Ursel. Let's see if we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 winners this month up at Churchill Downs, which is it's pretty good. Pretty good, pretty good. All right, let's see. Bunch of stakes races this weekend. I mean, this is a, wow, you won't be able to pry yourself off from the television this week. Let's see. I think there are 10 or 11 graded stakes today, plus 3 more tomorrow. The graded stakes, they run in the Cigar Mile at Aqueduct. That's grade one. They run in the grade one Hollywood Derby out of Del Mar. Today, also at Aqueduct, they're running the grade two Demoiselle. They're running the grade two Remsen Stakes up there. I should have done something on a Remsen, I guess. Got to talking about River Downs up here with Grubb and Mike. The grade three Comley is at Aqueduct today. So how many stakes is graded stakes? That's 1, 2, 3, 4 graded stakes today up in New York. They're running the Hollywood Derby grade one at Del Mar. Anything else for Del Mar today? Yeah, the Jimmy Durante Stakes, grade three. You're just supposed to win that one by nose. The Native Dancer Handicap, named after one of the all-time great California bred geldings out there. Race forever. Front runner. Very, very popular horse out in California. They run in the Native Diver. It's grade three also today. Let's see what else we got here. We got the Golden Rod Stakes and the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill Downs. We got the Hawthorne Gold Cup at Hawthorne. Where else would it be? It's grade two. What else we got today? I think that's all of them. Tomorrow they're running the Matriarch Stakes at Del Mar. It's grade one. The Berkeley Handicap at Golden Gate, and it's a grade three race. And the Cecil B. DeMille Stakes at Del Mar tomorrow is also a grade three stakes race. So once again, this reminder, we're back at the normal time next Saturday from 10 until noon. There's one, the day we play North Carolina this month, I think we'll be on a little bit earlier again. We have to see. So thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.